Fatjes 8 has a brand new recording out called Equinox. They released just 6 tracks in time for Christmas, but the full recording doesn't come out until January 19th. Here's your early preview on new classical tracks. I'm Julie Aumacher. Enjoy. I'm talking with one of the founding members of Fatjes 8, Barnaby Smith. Thank you so much, Barnaby, for joining me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So tell me, is there anything new that we need to know about Fatjes 8, especially for those who are really avid fans? What have you all been up to?
We've been having a great time touring all around. We've got a wonderful new soprano as well, Eleanor. And perhaps most excitingly of all, we have a very brand new composer in residence called Jonathan Dove.
Oh, and Jonathan Dove is making an appearance on your brand new recording, which is coming out, called Equinox.
He is, yeah. He has written the central work. It was actually written in 2001, I think, for the London Symphony Chorus, so originally imagined for a choir of 100 and some. But it's an 8-part score, and so we've taken it on with Jonathan himself playing at the piano as well.
So that's pretty exciting. This is really the heart of this new release. Let's just dive in right there and talk about the theme and the whole concept of this recording, because it's somewhat elaborate yet simple.
Absolutely. We wanted to record Jonathan's piece, which is called The Passing of the Year, and we had the opportunity to do that at Abbey Road Studios, recording in the same room as the Beatles on John Lennon's piano. So that was very, very exciting. And this particular piece tracks the passing of the year, as the title suggests, with a series of 7 poems looking at all of the different seasons. And so we were then left with the choice of how we would complete the album. And as a group, we perform in such a wide range of styles, and one of our favourite styles is our sacred choral music. So we wanted to try and link that style of singing with the music of Jonathan Dove. So we looked at how the passing of the year, so the seasons, is also linked to the Christian year, and we decided to create a couple of sets of classical sacred music to go alongside the Dove. And even if I say so myself, I think it's come out very, very beautifully. Better, indeed, than I imagined.
Would you care to go through the different poems? They're all very short, and they represent poetry from some very well-known poets. And then they do, as you said, kind of take us through the year. I have a few favorites, but I think it would be really lovely if you could just kind of go through poem by poem for us.
Yeah, so first of all, we have Invocation, and that's all about the earth returning. So it sort of simmers away, and we get these beautiful, almost intricate piano parts, which at the same time seem very simple. So the piece opens up with this wonderful, it's almost like a subtle overture with beautiful choral chords. After that we have The Narrow Bud Opens Her Beauties. Of course, this begins to think about the idea of spring, and it's got a particularly beautiful solo for the soprano, first of all, which Andrea sings, and then Blake, who's one of our tenors. And eventually, as the piece moves on, it opens up wonderfully, and both tenors sing this fantastic melody, just like the opening of a bud of a flower. Following that, probably the most virtuosic of the 7 poems is Answer July, where the piano part really is incredibly difficult. During the recording, Jonathan was saying, "I thought I could play this when I wrote it," and I think it gave him quite a few difficulties. And actually the choral parts as well are incredibly fast, very, very intricate, and it's really beautifully written. And then we sort of have the sultry heat of summer in Hot Sun, Cool Fire. And there are some incredible cluster chords in the upper 4 voices at the beginning of this, which sort of ooze with intensity, just like you can imagine sitting out in the sort of late summer sun. following this. Probably the favourite of my tracks from this particular series is Our Sunflower. And the reason I particularly like it is because of the way the guys sing the solo at the beginning of the song. The music opens up, so it starts with just a single vocal line sung by our tenors and basses in unison, but then as the piece progresses, it works its way into an eight-part canon, again sort of beautifully showing how the sunflower's face opens and is so radiant. Adieu, Farewell, Earth's Bliss is exceptionally poignant. It's actually set with sacred text underneath, Lord have mercy upon us, so the Kyrie eleison. That's sung by one choir, and over the top, this very pleading poetry is set, and it's incredibly powerful. And Ring Out Wild Bells is a poem for the new year. So this brings us back really to the beginning of the cycle. And Jonathan has written incredibly well in the piano part these little interludes which sound like the peal of bells that we might hear, for example, in an English cathedral. And around it, these wonderfully powerful choral melodies. It's a superb way to finish and really rounds the cycle off beautifully.
Now the recording starts off with the more sacred side. So we just talked about the secular side, but you open with a more sacred theme, and then the Christmas story also kind of works its way in there. Would you like to talk a little bit about how that weaves into the opening of this whole theme?
So really the theme of the album is based around cycles. So we wanted to look at the cycle of the human soul, which of course to us as mortals is birth and death in essence. So we began and closed the album with a text from the Requiem in Paradisum. After this, we chose to set a text about the Immaculate Conception, the Annunciation, which is why it's particularly relevant to an early release in December, with a couple of very, very beautiful German carols, Es ist ein Rosensprungen. It's originally written or harmonised by Michael Pretorius, and we've made a new arrangement of that, which sets a couple of beautiful solo voices from the group, including Elena, our new soprano, and our tenor, Sam, who do lovely versions of a couple of those verses. There's also Maria durch ein Dornwald ging, which is an Advent carol and very well known, especially in Germany. However, I'd never heard an arrangement that was this beautifully done. It's arranged by a German composer called Stefan Klaas, and it tells the tale of Mary visiting her cousin Elizabeth shortly after the Annunciation, and there's a very, very beautiful literary motif. To begin with, Mary is walking through a forest of thorns, but as she passes those thorns in the third verse, they blossom into roses. And we think that that's, of course, symbolising the Christ child blossoming in her womb. We also have the wonderful Josef Liebe, Josef Mein. Again, another setting by Hieronymus Pretorius this time. And it begins as a lullaby, but then gradually crescendos to be a triumphant Odie Christus Natus Est. There's also a setting of Angelus ad Virginem. Which is a very old carol, which we do as a chant. And Johnny, our bass, actually found in part books in England a new, and what we believe actually to be the premier recording of a new harmonization of the fourth verse, where three voices weave incredibly around each other. It's very, very, very powerful music.
Well, and you created that arrangement, right?
I did, yeah. So that has a little bit of my own quill in it also.
And then the piece that bridges the sacred and the secular is The Ember Knight by Graham Lack. I'm curious about that, how that works as that bridge, and what is an Ember Knight?
So we sort of fell upon this piece by Graham a little bit by accident. Graham's a very good friend of the group, and he was sitting in a cafe with me in London about 6 months ago, and he mentioned that he was considering writing this piece about Ember Knights, and would we be interested to perform it? And I was almost couldn't believe it, because at that point we were looking how we were going to really tie up and finish off this album. So it really fell into us by chance. It's a very, very beautiful work, and one of the things I particularly like about it is it's focused almost at the individuality and the individual skills that Voces 8 possesses, which is an ability to cross between classical and more contemporary genres. So it's a fusion between choral music and modern a cappella singing. It's very, very interesting. It fits the theme perfectly because it talks about the Ember Knights, which are the knights that come on the quarters of every year. So it's derived originally from pagan rites, and the Ember Knights are the four nights in the year where the seasons pass from one to the other. And so we feel very fortunate, A, that we had a piece written for us for this album, and B, that it fits and ties up really the theme so wonderfully.
And who is the soloist on that piece?
We have a couple of soloists in this Ember Knight. Singing the first verse is our tenor Blake. Singing the second verse is our second tenor Sam. And then also our bass, Johnny, does get a little bit of a feature with some very, very interesting bass lines, perhaps that you'd be more used to hearing in some of our more contemporary jazz and swing repertoire, which makes a very interesting fusion.
Now, there was another piece commissioned for Voces 8, which appears on this recording by Philip Stafford.
Yes, so Philip Stafford was commissioned by the group back in 2014-15 season to write the Ave Maria Stella. Philip was also a chorister at Westminster Abbey, where a number of the group's founding members were choristers, and so we've known him for a very, very long time. He's actually now living and working in the US. And so what's very nice about his music is it combines the English choral style with the modern sound of the 21st century American compositional school. And so it really fits, I think, for our global audience very, very nicely. One of the things I love about this particular piece is the way Philip connects the verses. So there's beautiful bridge passages which include a sort of skylark-esque soprano part for Andrea, who soars over the top of the ensemble.
Another piece that helps to kind of bring things to a close is the Pia Jesu by Fauré, which is another arrangement by you.
The Pia Jesu has always been a very special piece for me, because when I was a choir boy, I got to sing the solo on a couple of occasions, and it is such a beautiful melody. I was then watching a film about 2 or 3 years ago in which I heard a new arrangement, still with orchestra. It's originally written with orchestra, and I thought, the sort of penny dropped, I thought this would work magnificently well for unaccompanied voices and soprano solo. So I decided that I would try to create an arrangement. I'm very, very lucky that whenever I consider composing something like this for the group are very honest with their feedback and allow me time in rehearsals to try things out. So this is a sort of crafted arrangement that probably took a season to fully complete. Again, it fits the theme particularly well because we wanted to look on the album at the passing of our souls from being mortals to being immortal and passing to heaven.
And an elegy follows by Edward Elgar. Tell me about that piece.
It's probably my favourite piece on the album, or certainly close to my favourite piece on the album. The music of Edward Elgar is incredibly powerful and very, very important to our English heritage. Of course, he's heard every year at the final night of the proms in London. And our version of Lux Aeterna has been also very, very successful across many different platforms. In this particular piece, Elgar doesn't actually use the title elegy. He calls it They Are at Rest, and then he says it is an elegy. And it's incredibly powerful words by Cardinal Newman, which, again, are the perfect bridge for our souls from mortality to immortality. And that some of the harmony and the way that he writes and finds his way through these progressions is simply sumptuous. And I think of all the tracks on the album, it's probably the piece that we had to work the hardest at to really find the deepest meaning possible.
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about recording this at Abbey Road Studios. I'm guessing that that was a huge impact on all of you, and I'm wondering what your relationship may have been with the Beatles.
Well, recording at Abbey Road is an honour for anybody, and to be able to make the album in there was something that we couldn't believe we were lucky enough to be able to do. I think growing up we've all been fans of the Beatles, who hasn't been? But I think actually Blake, our American tenor, was probably the happiest person to be there, because he is also brought up, being from Detroit, he's brought up very much in a popular music culture. But it's incredibly inspiring when you stand there behind a microphone, no matter what music you're recording, to appreciate the great musicians that have stood before you in that room. And I think that really helped sort of ice the cake, as it were, for the recording of the disc.
Eleanor Cockrum is your new soprano. When you bring a new member in like that, how does it change the complexion of the group or enhance it?
Change, I think, in an ensemble like ours is both difficult but also very important, because we function as the same eight singers all the time. Of course, we are able to find ways of singing which are incredibly unique. People in the music industry use the term tight. It's very together, very cohesive. But then change brings around an opportunity for us to sort of have a new look, and for us also to look very much at ourselves. I mean, Eleanor was selected from, I think, a field of over 500 sopranos who applied for the position. So you can imagine that when she joined the group, she was selected because she fitted so well. The thing I particularly admire about Eleanor is that she has a very unique and individual voice. So when she wishes to be heard as Eleanor, it's just beautiful to listen to. But she also has a very unique ability to blend exceptionally well with both the rest of the group, but also with, crucially, with our top soprano, Andrea. And so she has the flexibility to fit into all our repertoire perfectly. And above all else, she is an incredibly engaging musician. And so to come and watch her sing is an amazing experience, as actually to listen to her sing.
And where is she from?
Eleanor's from the north of England, from Yorkshire. She actually studied in Manchester at the Royal Northern College of Music. But in England, the people from the north, they have such a joy for life. They're very well known for that. And so she brings a real spring in the step, which I think has had a very positive and encouraging effect on even the golden oldies like me.
So when you were putting together this recording, Equinox, were there any surprises?
Well, when we began to think about the album, we built it very much around the music of Jonathan Dove. And if I'm honest, you know, I would suggest as an artistic director, it's good practice that you think of your theme, you think of your title, you imagine your concept, and then you fill the music in. But we sort of ran this disc the other way around. We decided we definitely wanted to record the passing of the year, and then we had to consider how we might tie this whole thing into an album. And if I had to pick a surprise, it would be the quality of the concept that we've managed to achieve with that. And I'm very, very thankful actually to my colleagues in the group, because this has really been a group effort. We've had so many long bus journeys, long car journeys, long plane journeys, where we've been around so many different ideas, had so many debates about what concept we should go with, and I really feel that the one we've landed on with Equinox is impressive, and I'm very, very pleased with that.
That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. You can sign up to win your own copy of this forthcoming release called Equinox with Voces 8 by going to yourclassical.org. Thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julia Macher.